to read some verses from 1 John 3. We'll actually finish on these later on as well. Just a couple of verses at the beginning of 1 John chapter 3. And then having read this, we'll pray. 1 John chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. Quite well known verses in the Bible. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for these words that encourage us and remind us of what we are in the Lord Jesus Christ, your children. That is what we are now. And we look forward to that day when we will see the Lord Jesus Christ with our eyes. We walk by faith now. Lord, we look forward to that day when the one who died and rose again will raise our bodies, and they will be without any of the impacts of the fall, without any death or decay or illness or suffering or sorrow. We praise you, O God, that the Lord Jesus Christ bore our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. We thank you that he bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And we thank you that he is risen. We gather today on this first day of the week, remembering Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And so we pray for our time this morning. Thank you that we have been able to sing already of gladness and joy in knowing you. Lord, draw near to us, speak to us, help us in the time afterwards as we fellowship together. May you help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm going to read Psalm 71, which is on the sheet. Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvellous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things. Who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honour and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. Well, let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, thank you for this psalm, and we pray for your help as we turn to consider it in a few moments. It seems to address somebody who is old. We pray that you would help us this morning. May it be an encouragement to us to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at your right hand. Lord, we lift before you this village. Thank you for the witness that took place over Christmas. And we pray that you would stir people and remind them of the truths that they've heard. Thank you, O God, for the opportunities that were given. Continue to encourage and help and lead this church into the future. Uphold Stephen and his ongoing ministry. And help him and give him power and authority in proclaiming your word. We pray that when your people gather to pray, you would draw near to them and encourage them and lead them and guide in them. We pray for people who have shown an interest in the gospel here, but perhaps aren't coming at the moment, that you would draw them back. Lord, we think of the new housing estate being built. We pray for opportunities to reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ there. We see so much need, and we are so small. Lord, you are a great God. So we pray that you would equip your people here with all that they need day by day to serve you. Strengthen those who know weakness and ill health and sadness and grief. Draw near. May you enable your people here to be an encouragement to one another, to help and serve and lift one another up and carry one another's burdens. And in so doing, be that witness of salt and light in the community. Lord, we pray for the work of the gospel throughout Wales and throughout the world. We think of troubled parts of the world. We think of Ukraine. We think of countries in different parts of Africa. Think of the links that Stephen has had with Sierra Leone. We pray for Christians there, where there's so much need. We pray for Christians who face persecution. It's happening throughout India. And we pray that you would equip your people there to be able to keep going and persevere in the face of difficulty, opposition, hostility. Lord, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ promises to build his church. And we thank you that we see that going on throughout the world this day. And so we pray that you'd encourage us this morning and help us through the days of this week to serve and honour you and to know your help and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. In the psalm that we read, Psalm 71, twice the psalmist, verse 9 and verse 18, refers to his old age and concerns about his old age. And in verse 18, talks about being grey. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God. Grey hair isn't a new problem. It's wonderful to have the Psalms, and we're going to think about this Psalm this morning. I read it on Wednesday morning, and I was thinking about coming here today, and something Stephen had put in the prayer points that we had in our together prayer meeting recently about being, I can't remember the words you used, but it basically, you're quite old. You put it more politely than that, I think. I do struggle talking on this because in some ways you think, well, who am I to speak about old age because I'm relatively young. But the title for this morning is Use Your Old Age Well. Because we've got a man probably who we don't know who it was who wrote this psalm, and it seems he was old and he was concerned about some of the things that come along with that. So use your old age well. Three things. The first one, and you will be able to tell me a lot more about this than I'm going to tell you probably. Old age doesn't come alone. Doesn't, does it? Now there seems to be particular troubles that the psalmist is concerned about. Trouble and opposition. We're not immune to that in old age. We can still have people who want to have a go at us in old age. To be a pastor for a long, long time, maybe get to your 60s and think, well, that's it now, it will be smooth and plain sailing from here on. But actually, there can still be difficulties and challenges. There can be family difficulties in old age, and perhaps as the senior statespeople in the family, you have to front up to those, and that can be difficult. But there can be all sorts of challenges, trouble, opposition. But just being old brings with it challenges. And it is quite touching, the fact that twice the psalmist has a concern. Do not forsake me. Do not cast me away when my strength is gone. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, my God. Why might he be concerned about that? Why can that be a concern to us? It's interesting, in verse 7, I've become a sign to many. It's difficult to know exactly what he's getting at there. But maybe it's more of a negative thing. That he's knowing weakness, his strength has gone, and in his frailty, he's a sign to people that actually, we are living in a fallen world that's under a curse, and we do grow old and we wear out. And that's all part of the judgment of God upon this world that's come because of sin. And therefore, when we grow old, in a sense, we're all a sign to that. But he's concerned about perhaps his usefulness. I can't do what I once did in church life. May I not be forsaken? Even attendance. I just can't come when it's like this. It's remarkable to see you all here. And see you coming across the ice there. I nearly slipped over on it this morning. I'm not wearing the best footwear for it. We're at very low altitude in Deeside. You tend to have a lot more snow and ice up here than we do. But just not being able to be as involved in things, perhaps, in old age as you once were. And then that gives you more time often to then think about the fact that you can't be as involved, and that can lead to concerns as well. But what other concerns do you have in old age? Concerns about the future. That seems to be a particular concern in the psalm as well. For yourself, but not often for yourself, it's often for other people. Maybe you're the last generation of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in your family. And that can be a concern. What happens when we are gone? The last generation of believers. Maybe you've been key and crucial in helping particular people in your family. How are they going to cope when you're not there? This isn't meant to be depressing this morning. It will get more cheerful. But old age doesn't come along alone. And all of these thoughts seem to be weighing down the person in this psalm. Thinking about the future, what it means to him. Thinking about the present. Thinking about the next generation and perhaps the generation after that. What's going to become of everything? Perhaps a particular concern can be loss of memory. We see the impacts of dementia. I think, well, how does that impact the Christian life? Well, the wonderful thing is that our standing before God and what he thinks of us and his love for us isn't based upon our usefulness, however we define that anyway, and we'll get into that a little bit more. It's not based upon our attendance, because he sees us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when somebody suffers from something like dementia, we don't really know what's going on in their minds. We can look on. But what we can be absolutely certain of is that the Lord will never forget them. He will never forget you. Whenever we think about the Psalms, you have to think about the Lord Jesus Christ praying them. You might say, well, the Lord didn't grow old. He was cut off in the midst of his years. Well, that's right. But can he sympathise with you and with me in our concerns about growing old and being old? Well, I think he can. We see the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. It's like the concern of somebody in old age. He sees Mary and he ensures her care. His heart goes out to her, and he has that conversation with Mary and with John on the cross and ensures she's cared for. Yes, he can sympathise with us. He knows. And we've got that prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ not long before he was crucified. Goes over a few chapters in John's Gospel. But John 17 reveals his heart, his concern for, well, what's going to become of the next generation and the generation after that and the generation after that. Yes, he can sympathise with us. He knows. And he draws near. Old age doesn't come alone. The second thing, I said it was going to get more cheerful. Old age is very useful. What's going on in this psalm? Well, the first four verses says, in you, Lord, I've taken refuge. Look at the words that he uses. Rescue, deliver, be my rock of refuge. You are my rock and my fortress. They're very strong words, aren't they? Rock, refuge, fortress. Talks of being rescued, saving. Why could he be confident of that? Well, there's a number of reasons, but perhaps the one that comes out strongest in this psalm is his reflecting. Verse 5, you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You have a testimony, and you can reflect again and again of God's goodness to you. One of the things we're hoping to do in the coming weeks in Deeside is to interview some of the older members for this very reason, really, to understand and see God's goodness and faithfulness over many, many years. It's an encouragement to us. But you can reflect, as the psalmist does, you have been my hope, my confidence since my youth. Has he ever let you down? He will be your rock and refuge, because that's what he's been in the past. And you can say this even if you didn't come to know Jesus until you were much older. That's encouraging sometimes, to hear the testimony of somebody who maybe didn't become a Christian until they were 60, 70, 80. They can still look back on all of the time before they were a Christian and start to see, well, actually, I can see how God's hand was upon me even when I didn't have any thought for him whatsoever. You're in a unique phase in life in old age. You've got many years of insight, a perspective that perhaps, well, you didn't have when you were 25. You've got wisdom, hopefully, that you didn't have when you were 25. One of the things I read when I was thinking about this topic on Wednesday, I just read a little article that somebody had written. It was a lady, and she made the comment that Jesus writes long stories. I thought, well, that's an interesting phrase. What does she mean? Well, she was in her 80s, and she was reflecting in her old age. And she reflected about how her great-grandmother, I don't think she'd ever met, had prayed for her. Pray for the next generation. You pray for people that aren't yet here, don't we? I think. You pray, if you've got children, grandchildren, you pray for future generations, even before they're born. You pray for people in the church. And then she's doing the same thing. And who knows who prayed for her great-grandmother? That's the point about Jesus writing these long stories, and how your involvement in church life here will have a much longer impact than even your many years, because it goes on. Let's think about prayer for a moment. And perhaps think, well, when I'm no longer here, as the last believer, perhaps, in my family, who's going to pray for my family? And there's a sense in which your prayers follow you, because God is eternal. There's no time limit on our prayers, like perhaps a check, you've only got so long to cash it. God hears our prayers. The actual seeing of the answer may happen long after we've gone. So our prayers follow us, and we're part of a big long story that Jesus writes. In verse 18, and this is really sort of homing in on old age, is very useful. Got the first bit, but the second half, why doesn't he want to be forsaken? Well, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. That was his desire in his old age, was for the next generation and the generation after that. And in verse 19, he does exactly that. This is him declaring, your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? I think when you get to old age, however you define that, perhaps you can say those things with an even greater definiteness. Is that even a word? And perhaps credibility. And perhaps somebody who's 25, because you've tasted and seen over a long period of time and you've proved the Lord's faithfulness and his mighty acts through all of the ups and downs of life. We often close our midweek meeting in Deeside with the hymn, very short hymn, "How Good Is the God We Adore." But the second verse talks about Jesus being the first and the last. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that's to come. Again, we reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ and this psalm. We said he didn't live to old age. He was cut off in the midst of his years. Yet knowing he was going to die, his usefulness in those last moments of his life, the Last Supper, as he was knowing he was going to be betrayed, we've got those lovely words that Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. On the night the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. There he was, facing the gruesome death, the knowledge of betrayal. But where's his heart? His heart's thinking about his people, the next generation, his concern, the institutes, the meal that is of such a blessing in keeping us going, in trusting, in looking to Jesus. The helpfulness of what happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. I mean, it's horrific, isn't it? Jesus overwhelmed with sorrow, but that passage in the Bible has helped us, hasn't it? For generations it's helped people to think of Jesus and how he poured out his heart and knew that strengthening from God. And then he's been able to maintain the faithful testimony in all of the opposition. His heart on the cross, we've already talked about. So old age is very useful. It's interesting, a couple of times I've spoken to people. Once was some people I knew who had planted a church in Latvia. This was a number of years ago now, probably 15 years ago. And the church was full of youth. And I remember them asking once, "Please pray that we would have some grey hair." Just like, not because they wanted to be frazzled and worn out. They wanted some old people in the church. I was at a wedding recently, talking to a pastor there, and pastor in the church in London made the same comment. The blessing it would be to have some old people in the life of the church. Old age is very useful. Third thing, this is where we'll finish. Old age doesn't have the final word. Verse 20 and 21. And we really can see how this speaks of our Lord and Saviour and then how that applies to us. "Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up. You will increase my honour and comfort me once more." The Lord Jesus Christ knew troubles many and bitter, beyond anything we will ever endure. Endure that darkness, that forsakenness on the cross for us as he took our sin. He experienced death itself. Death of his body and soul being separated, his corpse being handled and placed in a tomb. "From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up." He was raised. Death and decay isn't the final word. Resurrection life, fully embodied resurrection life, is the final word. Our bodies rejuvenated, made new, no effects of the fall whatsoever. Verse 21 is a tremendously comforting verse. You will increase my honour and comfort me once more. Christ, the dishonour of the cross, he's going to be seen by all, coming on the clouds, the Son of Man, the Mighty One, confessed by all as Lord. But when we relate this to ourselves, there can be a what seems to be a loss of dignity and honour in old age. Go through phases in church life. We spend a lot of time in care homes and in hospitals visiting old people. I spent 6 days in hospital myself recently, and most of the people around me were old. It really brings home the invasion that death and illness are upon this world, and the lack of almost dignity it brings. And we need a lot of care there, because we're God's image bearers. But that isn't the final chapter. Honour will actually be increased when we see the Lord Jesus Christ return and we're raised. We'll join in this chorus, which in many ways is what the last three verses point to. We'll shout for joy. We'll tell of all his righteous acts all day long. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, he will have all the glory. We'll be praising him, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb." So old age doesn't come alone, but it's very useful. And it certainly doesn't have the final word. I think hopefully an encouragement this morning, and I said we'd finish where we started off in 1 John chapter 3. This is where it's all heading. I'll read these verses again. For reading these verses to somebody very shortly before they died, somebody who was suffering from dementia. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. And then, as I read this, the person who was close to death said, "For we shall see him as he is." That's the truth, isn't it? You go and visit people, those who are in Christ, and maybe so much of their body is failing. Look at them. Now they are a child of God. What's it going to be on that day when Christ returns and we will marvel at what it is he's made us, what he's making us now? Like a bride beautifully dressed for a husband, we shall see him as he is. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Amen.